I get to say Merry Christmas to you guys as well. Thank you for being here. Merry Christmas. For those of you that might be a guest, my name is Brian Anderson. I'm one of the pastors here. I want to welcome those of you that are online as well. And especially, I want to welcome and wish Merry Christmas to all of our Reveal family. Many of you, it's your first time here. Welcome. We're one great church, usually in two campuses, but today we're going to be in one campus. So glad that you're here. Hey, did you know that God has a purpose for just about everything? God has a purpose for every plant, every animal, every tree, every rock. God has a purpose for just about everything. So here's the deal. What is the purpose of Christmas? In other words, why did God leave the glory of heaven about 2,000 years ago and come to earth in the form of a baby? What's the purpose in that? Why did Jesus come to earth? Well, the Bible says that Jesus came to earth for at least three reasons. That's what we're going to talk about briefly tonight. And the first reason Jesus came to earth is to ease the misconceptions about God. I mean, let's face it, there are a lot of crazy, bizarre, and false ideas about God these days, aren't there? I'm sure you've heard many of these. In fact, if you Google the word God, you'll come up with over 200 million websites or something like that. That can be a little over intimidating. If you Google the phrase, what is God like, you'll also get a whole lot of responses. What is God like? Many of them are extremely weird, what people think about God. Let me read a few of them to you. One guy said, I like to think of God as the sun and myself as a ray of sunlight. The ray is the same substance as the sun, so really, I'm God too. Another guy wrote, I like to think of God like my dead father watching everything I do. Somebody wrote, I like to think of God as a wise old woman. Another person wrote, I like to think of God as some sort of gigantic balloon, like a giant brain floating out in space. Yuck, right? I mean, it's no wonder so many people are afraid of God or run from God or avoid God these days. It's no wonder why so many people don't want to go to church today. They have similar misconceptions about what God is really like. So let me give you just a few insights about this. First of all, anytime you hear somebody say to you, well, I like to think of God like, ... you immediately know they're wrong. You know why? Because it's just an opinion. It's just a guess. See, what we need is not what I think God is like. No, what we need is the truth, because it's the truth that sets us free. So best guesses are not good enough. You know, people also tend to imagine God in the way that's most convenient for them. You know, I want God to support my lifestyle, and therefore I like to think of God like this. Basically, I just want God to be my personal genie. I want God to be my servant instead of me being his servant. Now, another thing you should know about this is that a person can be really sincere about what they believe about God, and yet at the same time, they can be sincerely wrong. You have to have more than just sincerity. You have to have the truth. I mean, I can say to you something like, well, I like to think of myself looking like Brad Pitt, when the truth is I look much more like Brad's pit, his armpit. It doesn't really matter what I think I look like. What matters is the truth. What do I really look like? You know, a sociologist said that over 95% of all Americans believe in God, over 95%. Now, the problem is that for many of those people, their image of God or their idea of God is distorted from what the Bible actually teaches. You know, I wonder if you, whether you're online or in person, I wonder if any of you have any false ideas or false concepts about what God is like that aren't really right. You know, maybe you picked up those false ideas about God from some religion or some church or maybe a relative, maybe your parents. Well, here's the good news. The good news is that God wants us to know what he's like. So you know what he did? He came to earth in the form of a human being 2,000 years ago. Jesus came to earth. And Jesus was God in the flesh. So how does Jesus blow up all the stereotypes people have about God? How does Jesus clear up all the misconceptions that people have about God? Well, he does it in at least two ways. By what he taught and by the way he lived. By his teaching and also by his example. Look at this verse. Jesus said in John 18, I came into the world to testify to the truth. All who love the truth recognize that what I say is true. See, Jesus came to bring the truth. And it's the truth that sets people free from false ideas about God. Look at what it says in John 1, verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, talking about Jesus, is himself God and is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. See, this verse and many others like it is saying that Jesus is God. One way to think about Jesus, he's God with skin on. God with skin on. Now, there are a lot of things that you and I can learn about God just by looking at nature, looking at creation. When we look at nature or creation, we can learn a lot about God. For example, we know that God likes variety. That's obvious. How do we know God likes variety? Just look down your row right now. All of us are very different, aren't we? We know that God is very organized. Nature is organized in a very complex ecosystem. We also know that God has an incredible sense of humor. You say, well, how do you know that? Have you ever looked at yourself in the mirror in the morning? God has an incredible sense of humor. So there are a lot of things we know about God just by looking at nature, looking at creation. But there are some things about God we only know because of Jesus. If Jesus had not come to earth, we wouldn't know certain things about God. For example, we would not know that God is loving, except Jesus told us. We wouldn't know that God forgives us, except Jesus told us. We wouldn't know that God has a plan for our lives, except Jesus told us. Jesus came to earth to teach us a whole bunch of things about God. And Jesus also shattered a bunch of myths about God. We know from Jesus Christ that he exploded the myth that God is unmerciful and that God is unpleasable and that God is some kind of a tyrant. And we know that because Jesus died on a cross for us. Jesus said, I love you this much. And he stretched out his arms and he died on a cross. Look at Jesus said in John 14, 9. He said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Anyone who's seen Jesus has seen the Father. Billy Graham once said, whenever I want to know what God is like, I just take a long look at Jesus Christ. See, Jesus is God coming to earth. Second reason Jesus came to earth is he came to express the love of God. The love of God. Now, at this time of year, we see a lot of bumper stickers, a lot of signs that say that slogan, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season. Now, that is extremely trite, but it's also true. Jesus is the reason for the season. This season is not about, you know, jingle bells and Christmas presents and Santa Claus and all of that stuff. It's about Jesus. Now, those other things are fine. Those other things are fun. But that's not the reason we celebrate Christmas. No, it's about a Savior, isn't it? That's why we celebrate Christmas. Jesus is the reason for the season. But you know what? There's a deeper truth even than that. Not only is Jesus the reason for the season, but you are the reason for the season. Because Jesus came for your benefit. He came to help you. In fact, if we didn't need what Jesus Christ has, then God would have not made the effort to send Jesus to earth. We would not be celebrating Christmas if you and I didn't need what Jesus came to bring. You are the reason for the season. Now, at this time of year, one of the things I love, there are all kinds of holiday movies out, right? Some of them old, some of them new. But in a lot of holiday movies, what happens is God sends an angel to tell somebody some sort of special message. The problem is, at Christmas, God didn't send an angel. God didn't send a prophet. God didn't send an assistant. God didn't send a representative. God came himself. Isn't that amazing? God came himself. God came to earth himself to help us understand how much he loves us. See, God didn't just say, I want you to know that I love you. No, he came himself to show us that he loves us. He didn't just say it, he showed it. You know, I heard about this guy that was always telling his girlfriend, baby, I love you, baby, I love you, baby, I'd do anything for you, baby, I'd die for you, baby, I'd die for you. Finally, this girl said to him, you're always saying that, but you never do it. It's one thing to say it, isn't it? It's another thing to show it. It's one thing to say you love. It's another thing to show you love. And God didn't just say he loves us. He showed it. He showed it. Look at what it says in 1 John 4. God showed how much he loved us. How? By sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. God loved us so much that he sent his one and only Son. That is real love. See, real love is about sacrifice. Real love means that I set aside my desires, my preferences, my needs in order to help you be all you can be. Real love sacrifices. And God showed us how much he loves us by sacrificing himself on the cross. And I want you to know, even if you were the only person who ever lived in the whole world, Jesus Christ still would have come to earth at Christmas so he could live and die for you so you could be with him in eternity forever. That is how much God loves you. So here's a question I have for you. Have you ever personally accepted God's love for you? Personally accepted God's love for you. Because if you haven't personally done that, God's love for you is worthless. See, if you don't enjoy it, if you don't benefit from it, it's worthless to you. God wants you to experience his love for you. That's why Jesus came. And then there's a third reason why Jesus came to earth. He came to enable us to have a relationship with God. A relationship. I want you to say the word relationship out loud. Relationship. Say it once more. Relationship. That's super important. Look what it says in Ephesians 1. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family. How? By bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. See, the reason you're alive, the reason your heart is beating right now, is because God wanted a family. God wanted a family, and he wants you in it. If God didn't want you to be alive, you wouldn't have been born. You wouldn't be here tonight. But God wanted you to live. In fact, let me take about 2 minutes, and I want to tell you very briefly what the Bible says about you. These are just the basics of what the Bible says about you. First of all, the Bible says that you are not an accident. You're not an accident. I don't care whether or not your parents planned you. God planned you. God wanted you to live. There are no accidental babies. There are some accidental parents at times, but no accidental babies. Second thing about you is that God made you to last forever. Now, one day your heart is going to stop, but that's not going to be the end of you, because God created you to live forever. And you're going to spend a whole lot more time on the other side of death than you are on this side. I mean, what do we get? 70, 80, 90, maybe 100 years here on this earth? But we're going to spend billions and billions and billions of years on the other side of death in eternity. And then the third thing the Bible says about you is that God made you to love you. That's why you're alive. God created you simply so he could love you and so he could bring you into his family. God wants a relationship with you. And God wants you to get to know him now so you can spend your eternity with him in a place called heaven, or the new creation, forever and ever. And the truth is this: life is preparation for eternity. You're alive right now to prepare for what's coming, to prepare for eternity. Because this life is not going to last, but the next life will. And if you develop a relationship with God through Jesus Christ here on this earth, then that means you're going to spend an eternity with him in heaven or the new creation. But if you don't develop a relationship with God through Jesus Christ here on this earth, then you're not going to spend an eternity with him. And God has done everything possible for you to be able to get to know him. He even came to earth himself. God took the initiative. And he sent Jesus to earth. And he did that to allow us to know how badly he wants us to have a relationship with him. So let me ask you, do you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ? A personal relationship? You say, well, Brian, how would I know for sure? Well, you have to make a choice. There has to come a time in your life where you choose and you say, I'm choosing to begin a relationship with you, God. There has to come a point in time in your life where you actually step across the line of faith and you surrender your entire life to Jesus Christ and ask him to become your Lord and your Savior. You know, one day, many years ago now, I discovered in college this incredibly hot chick named Thora Kiefer. And I thought, man, I have to get to know her. And so I got to know her, and I found out that she was madly in love with me, of course. And I think it was because of my body. That's why most people fall madly in love with me. But that wasn't enough to have a relationship with her. So, several months later, I stood up in front of a whole bunch of people, and I said two words that changed my life forever. I said, I do. Now, at that point, I had no idea what I was doing when I said, I do. In fact, ever since that time, I've been working out the implications of those two words. Let me ask you, have you ever said, I do, to Jesus? Have you ever personally done that? Now, I'm not talking about religion. I'm not, you know, I don't care if you're Catholic or Baptist or Buddhist or Muslim or Mormon or whatever. I don't care if you have no religious background whatsoever, because Jesus isn't into religion. Jesus didn't come to bring religion. Jesus came to bring relationship. So back to the question, have you ever said, I do, to Jesus? Have you ever said, Jesus, man, I want to know you. I want to be part of your family. If you've never said that before, if you've ever never made that choice in your heart before, you can't really experience what Christmas is all about. And so if you've never done that before, I want to give you an opportunity to do it right now. Would you bow your head in prayer with me for a moment? I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. You don't have to do this, but this is a holy moment, and I know that it helps us keep from being distracted. When we close our eyes, maybe bow our heads. And I'm just asking the Holy Spirit of God to settle in on every one of us. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you touch every person, both online and in person? Let us experience a little bit more of your love for us right now. So if you've never really crossed the line of faith, or you're not sure if you have, or you've never, you know, sort of said, I do, to Jesus, I want to follow you, Jesus, I want a relationship with you, I want to give you an opportunity. And I know that some of you are wondering, well, how do I begin this relationship with God through Jesus? How do I say, I do, to Jesus? I want to do it. How do I do it? Well, this relationship with Jesus can begin right now through a simple prayer of surrender. I'm going to pray a prayer of surrender in just a moment. And if you want to pray this prayer, you want to surrender your life to Jesus, you want to say, I do, to him, you want to begin a relationship with him, then you can repeat this prayer to God in your heart. You don't have to say it out loud. God can read your thoughts. But you do have to really mean it. It has to come from your heart. It has to be the real deal. And so if you want to begin a relationship with God and you're not sure you've ever done that, or you know you never have, but you're ready, you want to say, I want to cross the line of faith tonight. Christmas Eve, 2022. I want to declare my faith in Jesus Christ. Then just pray something like this. Jesus, thank you for leaving the glory of heaven and coming to earth in the form of a human being so that you would be able to live a perfect, sinless life. And then one day you would go to the cross and take all of my sins upon you on that cross. I believe that you did that for me. And I know that I need forgiveness for all the wrong things that I've ever done. And so right now, Jesus, I want to say I do to you from my heart. I want to cross the line of faith. I want to begin to have a relationship with you. And I'm making a commitment right now that I want to begin to follow you from this day forward. I want to spend my eternity with you one day. You know, if you prayed that prayer from your heart and you really meant it, it happened. You may have felt something in your body, you may not have. We're all wired differently as far as how we experience things phenomenologically. But I know it happened because the Bible says it happened. And if you really meant that, Jesus came into your life just now and he forgave you of all of your sins, and now he wants you to begin to follow him. But you know, one of the things that Jesus tells us is that when you become a follower of Jesus, you can't keep it to yourself. You have to go public with it. That's part of what water baptism is. When a person goes through water baptism, they're publicly saying, my old life before Christ is now dead, and I now have a new life in Christ, and I'm going to follow him. That's part of what that is. But whenever I give an opportunity for people to surrender their life to Jesus in our church services, I really encourage people to go public right away. Because I know, I've been pastoring for a long time, I know that it doesn't really take in a person's life unless they go public. And so I want you to go public in just a moment. If you prayed that prayer for the very first time, I'm going to ask you in a moment to do something really brave, really courageous. If you prayed that prayer and you really meant it, then in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand up and come down here to the front because I want to pray a special prayer for you. Now, I know if you prayed that prayer a moment ago for the very first time, and now I'm saying I want you to get up in a minute and come down here, you're probably freaking out. And so let me try to ease your fears just a bit. First of all, in a moment, when I have people stand up and come to the front, the vast majority of us that don't come to the front, the reason we don't is because we've already done something like this. We're already followers of Jesus, and we love it when God adds more people to his family. So we're already on your side. We're already for you. But the second thing I want to point out to you is that when I said, told you a moment ago, if you wanted to pray this prayer, I said you really needed to mean it. Because it's not going to take unless it's really from your heart. So if you really meant it to God, then it shouldn't matter who else knows or doesn't know. Now, you're also thinking, well, Brian, what if I'm the only one that'll come down? You won't be. You won't be. But again, even if you were, this was a commitment you made to God, and this is your first opportunity to go public. Jesus said, anyone who confesses me in front of other people, I will confess them before my Father is in heaven. But anyone who denies me in front of other people, I will deny them before my Father is in heaven. You have to go public. And so if you prayed that prayer a moment ago and you're brave enough to stand up and let us all know about it and come down into the front, I want you to stand up right now, wherever you are, stand up right now, and I want you to walk down into the front. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come on. God bless you. God bless you. Come on. Whether you're up on the balcony or not, come on. Come on. Come on. Pop to your feet right now. You prayed this prayer. You stepped across the line of faith. You're saying, I do, to Jesus. Just come on over here. Come on over here. Just face me. Just face me. Come on. Come on. Come on. Pop to your feet. If you're up in the balcony, pop to your feet. Just come to the front. Come on. I know there are many more of you. You guys can just turn around and look at me if you want to. You just look at me. Come on. Come on. Right now. More of you. I know there's more. God bless you. God bless you. You're saying, I'm saying I do to Jesus. Today is the day that I cross the line of faith, and I'm saying I do to Jesus. Now I know. Just keep coming. Just keep coming, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. Come on, come on, pop to your feet. Come on, let's go. Pop to your feet. You prayed that prayer. You prayed that prayer. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I prayed that prayer, and I want to follow Jesus. Now, I know that there's probably some more of you here. You prayed that prayer, but you're a little afraid to go down by yourself. If you came with a loved one, a friend, somebody sitting next to you, they would come with you. If you would just grab their hand right now, as a sign of saying, would you come with me as moral support? Would you come with me right now? Just grab their hand. God bless you. Go on. Grab their hand. Grab their hand. They'll come forward. They'll come with you. Moral support. Grab their hand. Come on. Pop to your feet. I know there's some more. Come on. Come on. This is your time to go public with Jesus, saying, I do to Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I am not afraid of declaring my faith and saying, I do to Jesus. Keep coming if you... Or, you know, just keep coming, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. We don't want to leave anybody out. Christmas Eve 2022, God bless you guys. We don't want to leave anybody out. So I'm going to say a few words. So you guys turn around, look at me right now. Now you just keep coming. If there's more of you, it's never too late. Just keep coming. But I want you to know, first of all, I'm very proud of each and every one of you who made this decision today to follow Jesus, because this is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. You know why? Because not only will this affect the rest of your life here on this earth and how you live, but it also affects where you're going to spend eternity. You were translated, the Bible says, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light by saying, yes, I do, to Jesus, and now you will spend your eternity with him. So it's the most important decision you could ever make. Now, I'm going to pray a prayer for you, and I'd like small group leaders, ministry team members, would you guys get up right now? And I want you to come down into the front. I want you to gather around our friends here. Right now, we need a lot of people. There's a lot of people up front. So we need a lot of small group leaders. Maybe this isn't the service that you were assigned to. So I'm assigning you right now. If you ever do this in any of our services, you're assigned right now, even if this isn't your service. We need lots of people. Try to come around to the front of people if you can and see their lovely faces. And all of you up here, I'm going to pray a prayer. And then these people, just come around. These people that are coming up, they're some of our leaders, some of our small group leaders, ministry team members, all that. And they want to, maybe they'll pray for you as well. Or maybe they'll just get some information. But we need information from you because we want to follow up with you. Now, one other thing I want to say to you guys is one of your next steps is that now you need to be water baptized. That's one of the ways you publicly, you go public with your faith. And we're going to have another water baptism on this campus in January. So you're going to hear more about it, and we're going to celebrate you when you're water baptized. Reveal Campus will have another water baptism in a few months. You guys at the Reveal Campus will know, we'll let you know more about that. But that's one of your next steps. And second thing I want to say is now, you know, as a follower of Jesus, you need to grow in your relationship with Jesus. And that's where Vineyard and Reveal come into play. We teach you every week how to follow Jesus better. That's why from now on, church can't just be something added on to your life that if there's nothing better going on or I don't have something else planned, then I'll come to church. No. Church now needs to begin to be a priority because this is where you learn, one of the major places you learn how to follow Jesus better, okay? So make a commitment that you're going to begin coming to church on a regular basis. Now, I want to pray a blessing over you, and then our ministry team members and small group leaders will be around you. We need some ministry team members and up here in the front. We have several people that don't have anybody around them. So just come on up to the front. Ask some questions. Would you agree with me in prayer for our friends up here at the altar? And by the way, if you're online and you prayed that prayer for the first time, we want to know about it. So please put something in the chat and one of our team members will get back with you. Please agree with me in prayer for our friends. Lord, we're so grateful for each and every one that has made this decision to follow Jesus right now. I pray, Lord, that you'd bring the right people around them who'd be able to disciple them and encourage them and help them, God, to stay on this narrow path that they've decided to walk on called following Jesus. I pray, Lord, that as they make this decision to be baptized, you'd help them to follow through with that, and you would just help them to grow in every part of their spiritual life. I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would fill them right now. Fill them, empower them, use them as your hands and feet, starting right now, God. And I pray your blessing on their bodies and their souls and their spirits. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, none of you leave who came up here until somebody's gotten some information from you, all right? So if you're up here and nobody's with you yet, would you raise your hand so I know? I'm going to pray a blessing over us to go in just a moment. Here's some people up here in the front, right up here. So we need some people in the front. Anybody else? You have somebody with you? If you don't have somebody with you, raise your hand. All right, would everybody please stand? I want to pray a blessing over us as we go. Lord, thank you for all my friends. And I pray as they'll go their separate ways, God, as their pastor, I ask you to bless them, keep them, cause your face to shine upon them, be gracious to them. Lift up your favor upon them, God, and give them peace as they go. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. You have to say Merry Christmas to at least five people on your way out. Merry Christmas. God bless you. See you soon.